There is a monster at the end of this book, written by Trekkle, read by Mistborn Hero, a Batman podfic rated for general audiences, featuring the relationship Dick Grayson and Bruce Wayne from the point of view of an original character. It is tagged for vampires, galas, and rich people. Derogatory. Summary. Tyler came to Gotham for one reason, and one reason only. There was something deeply wrong with Bruce Wayne. This wasn't exactly news, of course. Opening any one of the local Gotham tabloids would give you plenty of evidence to back his claims up, but Tyler liked to think his profession gave him an edge, an added insight into the strangeness that was Gotham's beloved billionaire. Vampire hunters had to be observant, after all. Of course, the council would never approve of removing a vampire as publicly known as Wayne with only tabloids and anecdotal evidence to back up his claim. They had barely, and he meant barely, approved his request to investigate Wayne in the first place. But 3 months as the waitstaff on Gotham's event circuit had only made him more determined to prove that Wayne's weirdness was as dangerous as his gut told him it was. For example, what was happening now, nearly an hour after the gala was meant to have started, Wayne walked in and every head turned to him. Enthrallment. That obvious? Was usually a sign of a young vampire, but Wayne had less reason than most to dampen any of his powers. Just his money made most people look away before they could say anything. Not Tyler, though. Tyler noticed the fascination everyone had with him, beyond just being rich, or the way the light in the room seemed to bend around him, skin clear and soft, in a way that made the sun look desperate to sink into him, dancing across the planes of his sharply angled face instead. Light didn't know how to act around vampires, bouncing and fading and generally making a nuisance of itself. Or the way he smiled, soft again and tight-lipped like he knew something you didn't, remembered something you couldn't. It was unnerving. Not to mention how he remembered Tyler's name, which was just weird. Who remembered waiters' names from one event to the next? But despite the piles of evidence, Tyler just knew were lurking behind every appearance, the real reason the council approved of his fact-finding mission was the kid. House thralls might have fallen out of fashion together with the Industrial Revolution, but vampires like Wayne loved resurrecting things. Fashions, precedents, species that had last been seen in the Pleistocene era, you name it. The last thing the council wanted was Wayne kicking off a blood slave revival because the GCPS couldn't keep some circus kid out of his clutches. Sure, the kid would be safe for now. There was no point in drinking from a kid, especially not one as tiny as this. Rick? Richie? Dirk? Whatever the name was. And he was tiny, always trailing behind Wayne in his little colorful suits. Light-up sneakers that probably cost more than Tyler's subsidized rent, knocking against every damn thing and flashing at him from across the room. He'd probably have a decade of good times. All the light-up shoes he could ever want, and Daddy Wayne Bucks keeping a healthy distance between his fangs and that tiny underdeveloped neck. Then, once the kid felt like part of the family, once he owed so much to Wayne that he would never say no to something like a harmless little nibble, that's when reality would set in. One bite a week for a lifetime of luxury. It would probably sound like a good deal too for a kid with no one left. That's why Tyler was here. Silent, subtle, keeping watch from a distance while Wayne charmed the room and his tiny shadow in neon yellow hair clips trailed after him. Collecting his proof and then getting permission to deal with the Wayne problem once and for all and disappearing. No one would ever realize he had been within 200 feet of those two. Maybe the kid would get lucky and be ridden into Wayne's wheel before Tyler could move in. That would be a nice little irony. A twist of the stake. Sarah hated working with non-Gothamites. They were always so weird about the most basic employee requirements, like getting a gas mask that fit, available at every Wayne-sponsored clinic for free, or the yearly fear gas inoculation, also available at every Wayne clinic for free, or the fact that yes, Bruce Wayne will remember you from gala to gala, and no, he will not aggressively flirt with the staff. That last one was a little strange, considering the usual crowd they worked with at these things. In a word, rude. In another word, handsy. But be reasonable. Everyone and their mob-affiliated uncle knows that Mr. Wayne was raised by a butler. Of course he had excellent manners. Also, Tyler could whine about it all he liked. They all knew he had been weird about Mr. Wayne before they had ever met. Tyler, Sarah had decided, had a closet problem, which was annoying since it was piled on top of his other "I'm so obviously not a native of Gotham, you could probably just ask for my wallet and I'll start crying" problems. Well, as long as he kept the staring to a minimum and served the champagne without spilling, no one would care. Everyone stared at Mr. Wayne a little too much at these things anyway. Natives just had some class about it. Now, staring at Dick Grayson? Sarah had instructions about that. All the waitstaff did. Mr. Wayne used the same staffing and catering company for pretty much every event he hosted in some capacity. And, as the saying went, what a Wayne did, Gotham High Society followed along with, like a bunch of diamond-covered ducklings. After Dick's fostering was announced, and the subsequent outrage and think pieces and weirdly intense debate over what was literally none of their fucking business died down, Mr. Wayne had shown up early, like setting up the tables early to one of his own galas and asked for an employee meeting. He explained that he would like for all of them, if possible, and not too much trouble, to keep an eye out for Dickie, make sure he didn't sneak off and get lost down a hallway, maybe nudge him back in the right direction if they saw him where he shouldn't be. Of course, they all got a generous babysitting bonus for it. Very, very generous. And an extra 50 was left in their tray if they ever walked Dick back to Mr. Wayne personally, which must have been very frustrating for the kid. He was always trying to sneak off down tempting hallways, usually after seeing other people sneak down them too. It was cute how well Mr. Wayne seemed to know his kid. Lila, who had been working these events since she was a teenager, and remembered Mr. Wayne when he was knee-high and dimpled, said that Mr. Wayne had been the exact same way at his first few galas. Hopefully, Dick would outgrow it, too. There was the other part, of course, the one that Mr. Wayne hadn't explicitly asked for, but that they all did anyways, for all the kids who attended these kinds of things. It wasn't hard to notice it, not with how few kids were actually there, but there was always at least one. paying attention to who was looking at them, watching them, following a little too close to where the kid was in the room? There were moments at every party. Some, no doubt, your garden variety racist, eyeing Dick for the way his skin glowed golden like the sun under the yellow light and crystal chandeliers. But there were a few that Sarah wouldn't trust near her own nephew in an empty hallway. Those guests never seemed to be at parties Mr. Wayne arranged the invite for. Tyler may have been new, but he had gotten the rundown on Mr. Wayne's arrangement with the staff before their first event, so maybe he was just bad at being subtle with the way he tried to keep the Waynes in his line of sight. But there was something in the way he watched them, about the way he seemed to be waiting, pausing when he served and letting his head turn to them like a celebrity calibrated compass. It made her uncomfortable, and Gotham taught you to listen to uncomfortable, which made Tyler a problem. This would be so much simpler if he just admitted to his stupid crush on Mr. Wayne. At least then she would know for sure what he was being weird about. The problem Tyler hadn't considered when he decided to use events like galas and fancy catered parties to spy on the Waynes was that he then had to, you know, actually work at the events. That and the fact that Wayne's kid had definitely started to stare back at him. Tyler felt a little bad about it all. The kid was so clearly begging for help from someone, even if it was silently, and through staring like a weirdo. But until he caught Wayne actively sucking the blood from someone in a back room, all his evidence was circumstantial and unusable. Mini Richie Rich would just have to sit tight in his new daddy's mansion for a little bit. Could you circle the back with this? Sarah passed him a new tray of tiny desserts, tossing her ponytail back over her shoulder and turning away with her own tray of gold-sprinkled chocolate tarts. There's a problem with the chocolate fountain again, and you know how that usually goes. The chocolate fountain, or where the chocolate fountain should be, is currently surrounded by disappointed rich people who were looking forward to dipping crystal cups into what was basically liquid chocolate, dark and deep, and almost the color of fresh blood, if you tilted your head right. The table was stuffed by his prettiest co-workers, which was probably why they weren't whining any louder about it. And the crystal sherry glasses were being politely topped off with a champagne that probably meant to pair with the chocolate tart somehow. Tyler thought the whole thing had looked like an overly fancy hot cocoa bar more than anything, but he wasn't the one paying for the overpriced hot chocolate. The overpriced hot chocolate that didn't exist. He felt the glare before he turned and wondered which husband he had accidentally pissed off this time, but there was no one in the crowd he could spot. He moved past the swarm that was descending on a newly wheeled out dessert table onto the smaller conversations near the balcony doors. The glare was still following him. He kept his head turning, stopping every few feet and offering the tiny chocolate pies to whoever he passed, and taking a few seconds to spot Wayne again, just in case. There he was. And there was his kid again, sending a death glare across the room that could rival a hydra's breath. No wonder he felt like ripping his skin off with a dessert knife. The kid looked lethal. And then he turned, slipping away without a blink or a single flash from his tiny shoes. If Tyler squinted, he could almost see the kid's eyes reflecting the ballroom lights, glaring at him from the shadows of the hallway he had slipped into. This was the opportunity he had been waiting for. Eyewitness testimony from Wayne's future blood slave would be just enough to tip the council in his favor, and Tyler could be out of Gotham within the week. It was almost like the kid had slipped away while Taylor watched on purpose. Now, just to convince him to talk. Sarah really wished she hadn't been right about this. She had even sent Tyler to the back of the ballroom, where there were less people and more ground to cover specifically to avoid this. She had been too optimistic, which was unforgivable for someone in her position. If Sarah was more of a gossip, and really she should be, it would serve Tyler right. She would have already spread the rumor of Tyler and Mr. Wynne's one-sided love affair across the entire catering community. She didn't, because that wouldn't be fair to Mr. Wynne, and also because Tyler was allowed 3 15-minute breaks per 6-hour event, so the fact that he always took one of his breaks at the same time Mr. Wynne left the building was more coincidence than anything else. It was still annoying. She could check one more hallway before getting back to the kitchen, because Taylor seemed to have no problem breaking up couples hiding in corners. Sarah had seen enough of that to last her a lifetime. Seriously, one more hallway and she would give up. Maybe she could get one of the bigger guys to offer to take out two trays at once. The debutantes in their little clique huddles loved when they did that. The hallway was clear of annoyingly absent co-workers, unfortunately, and couples, thankfully. So she gave up and turned around, walking directly into someone. My apologies. Mr. Wynne reached out as if to steady her, hand not quite touching her elbows. Sarah, was it? Are you all right? Yes, she said, tucking her empty tray against her ribs and planting her feet. Tripping into the richest man in Gotham was only a meet-cute in anime. In real life, it was just awkward. Can I help you, Mr. Wynne? She leaned a little, trying to see if Dick Grayson was hiding behind his foster dad's knee again. For a kid who offered to do a triple backflip off the balcony for the first time they met, he could be surprisingly shy. Well, now that you mention it, I don't suppose you've seen Dicky anywhere, have you? I could have sworn he's knocked down this hallway, but if you haven't seen him, I'll have to check somewhere else. Sarah ignored the sinking feeling in her throat. It wasn't weird or suspicious for two people to disappear from a party at the same time for completely different reasons. It wasn't. But Tyler had always been staring at the Waynes, at both of them. I was actually looking for another of the staff, she said, but I didn't notice anyone else down the hall. I could check again, though, if you think you saw him. Something in Mr. Wayne's eyes sharpened, and for a second, she wished she had never turned down this hallway at all. They could have managed perfectly well without Tyler. Is that so? Mr. Wynne murmured, and the seconds dragged over her skin. Bruce! Dick Grayson slipped around her with a shout, sliding into place between Mr. Wayne's arm and his side, electric blue eyes wide and just as sharp as his guardian's. Mr. Wynne ruffled his hair, relaxing so abruptly, Sarah startled with the sudden shift. Hello there, chum. Get into any trouble while sneaking around again? Dick grinned, licking his teeth and watching Sarah from under his lashes. I just wanted to eat somewhere quiet, is all. I wasn't sneaking. I can see that. Mr. Wynne said fondly, tapping the corner of his lip with a raised eyebrow. Dick had some chocolate, deep and rich in the corner of his mouth. Sarah thought they looked charming in their pressed suit and their coiffed hair, bright eyes laughing at each other. They could pass for brothers. Wynne looking too young for a 9-year-old, and Dick treating him with the sort of fond tolerance that the elite never allowed from their sons. Here, let me. Sarah leaned forward, pulling a napkin from her pocket, the chocolate on his face being the only thing ruining the impression of picture-perfect socialites. Dick danced away, moving behind Mr. Wayne's legs and peeking out the other side. He pulled a black handkerchief from his pocket and wiped the corners of his mouth carefully.
"Thank you, but my mommy always said to keep a black kerchief around."
Dick grinned up at her again, little white teeth still stained with chocolate and glinting red under the dim hallway lights.
"Since that doesn't stain..."
The end. Thank you for listening. I love any and all vampire alternate universes. And this was cute. I love that the suspicion is that Bruce, big bad Bruce, big bad dumb Brucey Wayne is the vampire, but then it turns out that it's Dick. And Dick killed the vampire hunter, I guess. Well, too bad. That's what he gets for suspecting his dad, I guess. I hope you enjoyed. Thank you for listening, and please remember to drink some water today.